We ended off yesterday with a Mar Malkum that Rabbi Ribiat discovered. We had noted that Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman discuss, respectively, in Rabbi Eider Sefer and Shemir Shabbos, whether you can remove a candy from a wrapper, even not Samach L'Achila. Is that considered like a klipa? Is that considered soles? And the Shmir Shabbos' representation of Shlomo Zalman that it makes a difference. Rav Moshe said only mutter on the sausage wrapper if you're going to eat it right away. And Shmir Shabbos goes from Shlomo Zalman the distinction as to whether it's tightly connected to the wrapper, in which case it's only mutter samach l'chilo, or not, in which case it's not an act of bar at all. It's like taking something out of your pocket. And then we ended off with Rabbi Ribiat's citation of a sefer Bris Olam, Rabbi Yamin Zilber, that makes a distinction between a situation where the soles is naturally adhering to the ochel or not, and bor is only relevant where it's a naturally adhering soles and not to the likes of a candy wrapper. So we left off trying to understand what that's based on. Rabbi Ribiat makes the following suggestion, which it sounds like he has a long maracha there in footnote 36. It sounds like he wants to say this idea with or without the Sefer Binyan Olam, but he tries to connect Bris Olam, and he tries to connect it to that distinction, whether or not it neatly fits. But his suggestion, which he thinks maybe is sowed in Bor that he has Mar Makomos for, is, well, first of all, he says that distinction between something that naturally adheres or not seems difficult in light of a comment of Mishnah Berurah. Other regards also, Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Kaf Tes says that if you have, we discussed Rav Moshe's Teshuvah a number of shiurim ago about rinsing fruit under a stream of water, but the Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Kaf Tes discusses if you have a potato with dirt on it, that you can put it in water or put water on it where there's significant dirt, because that is an act of a boer, even though that's not something that naturally adheres. He says, unless you say that that's something that normally adheres, so that's like naturally adheres. But Rabbi Ribia wants to say, in terms of Yisod, is the following. He notes that Shmir Shabbos in footnote 7 quotes from Shlomo Zalman that if something doesn't have the appearance of tarobes, then we don't ascribe to that the status of tarobes, and you could remove one object from another. So, for example, if you have meat and gravy, if that doesn't have the appearance of a tarobes, even though they're adhering, they're connected, then that's not subject to an act of boer. So he's bothered, Shmir Shabbos, why is that different than we have in Siman Shintes Zion Siftes? Shinta scientist Sif test that if you have lice that adhere to a veged, and they're, it's not just on the surface, but it's embedded in the weave of the veged, you can't easily remove it. That would be subject to boer. So that also doesn't have the appearance of being meurav necessarily. So why is that subject to bar? Why is that different or different than the pieces of meat and gravy? So he points out that there's a Shilta Giborim, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph Daf Hei Rif, the end of the 15th parak, in the context of the Knivas Yerek sugya that we've encountered already a couple of times. Knivas Yerek on Yom Kippur, what is the malacha that is going on? So the Shilta Giborim there has a line. He's assuming, as we saw already in other sources, the Magen Mishnah discussion, that we're talking about where there are olim upashin that you're removing from the part of the yarek that you want to eat. So it says the Shilta Giborim, but also tikkun masiras hanashim kala olim upashin. By doing this act of knivas yarek, the women are removing all the moldy or all the subpar leaves. The karnosola hedya brera. And they call that an act of Breira. If you ask them what they're doing, they would say we are being borer the solas from the ochel. Sha'omrim beirarnu hayarek litbo. they say we are being borer the vegetable. The ain takana laza ala kederach sha'amu b'shar biros liver biad v'ochel mitov solus alter. And the only situation in which such an act of borer is permissible is where you have all the three tana'e borer. So maybe you see from that presentation and the emphasis on korino sola had your brera that to some extent boer is dependent on perception and whether you would label something commonly as an act of selection. So maybe there's significance to the lashon b'nei adam angle when it comes to defining what's considered a taropes and what's considered an act of boer. Rabbi Ribia points out that then may also explain if there is such a yisod, that there's an element of lasha b'nei adam that goes into determinations of borer. So maybe that explains why if you're washing yourself to remove dirt or you're washing a fruit, different matter you're washing fruits, or you're being soaked a baged, where we talk about malavein, but we don't talk about borer. Or you're sweeping the floor, washing dishes, all these situations where you might have said that there's solus adhering to ochel, maybe that should also fall under borer, but commonly no one would perceive that as an act of selection, as an act of borer. And maybe that is a factor that goes into determining what's considered a tarovus and what's an act of borer. And he thinks maybe that's what's behind such a distinction between a natural casing and an artificial casing. So whether those two connect or not, he thinks his yisod may have some validity to explain why certain situations we don't label as a Torah, because we don't label as an act of Boer. Okay. So to conclude our current unit, let's talk a little bit about the Malach of Merakit, which as we'll see in a moment, heavily overlaps, as we know, with Boer, and many situations what may present as Merakit may also be Boer as well. So just a technical point in the order of Sidur de Pas, Merakit comes after Tochein, but because Zorba and Merakit always go together, we'll talk about Merakit first. So we already noted in our opening shir on Zora, the Machlokas Rashi and Rabbein Chananel as to what the distinction between Zorba and Merakit is, what's the significance of categorizing them as three separate malachos. Is it a function of Eichus HaPoel versus Eichus HaNifal? Is it a function of the action that's going on or a function of the subject of the action, meaning is Merakit unique or separate because it's being done with Kli as opposed to the Yad or Baruch, or is it unique because it is done with flour as opposed to other substances? So bottom line, we assume that Merakit, which we call sifting, as in sifting flour, is performed with a Kli that's miyuchad for Merakit. So the classic example of what would be Merakit is sifting flour with a sifter, a sieve that is miyuchad for that purpose. Now, how more broadly is Merakit relevant? So this begins with a yesugya, and first the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the opening Mishnah in Perek Tolin. The Mishnah tells us, Rav Lezer Omer Tolin es ha-mishamaris b'yantiv, v'nost in l'tluya b'shabbos. So you have this kind of a strainer that is used to strain out the wine or the sediment from the wine. So according to Rav Lezer, you can even set up this apparatus on yantiv. And if the apparatus is already set up on Shabbos, so you don't have to worry about an CSOL consideration, which is the reason you couldn't set it up. Once it's already set up, then you can use it to perform an act of straining the sediment out of the wine on Shabbos. So, Nogelin Yanena, what we're focusing on is the aspect of this machlokas of Lazar and Chachamim. Are you allowed to perform an act of Meshamer Yayin on Shabbos? Rav Lazar says yes. Chachamim say no. Why does Rav Lazar say yes? Says Rashi, Dibur Maskal Tolin. The Shabbos milsa lichachila misa lichachila lo. Aval im tluya he knows nim lasocha shmarim amisanein de ein darach bor bekach. According to Reb Lazer, putting wine through this strainer to remove the sediment on Shabbos is not the normal form of brera. Why is that not the normal form of brera? So the Rashba writes kuf lamed ches amid beis yimalchli bayilahu that you're not doing it biyadayim. The normal that you are. That you're not being borer biyadayim. Meaning, I think, that when you are pouring the wine through the strainer, you're not actually doing a direct act of borer or merakeh. If you're pouring wine, in Mimela, there's some separation that's going on, which, according to Blazer, is one step removed from the primary form of Borer. But Chachamim disagree, and we accept the position of Chachamim, that no, that itself is an act of Borer or Merakeh. So is it Borer, is it Merakeh? That is the next Gemara that we have to look at on Kof Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara at the two dots, about 7-8 lines down, Einos Nilatulia B'Shabbos, Yibaylahu Shimer Mai. So, according to Chacham, you're not allowed to put the wine into this strainer on Shabbos. So, what happens if you did? What is the exposure of doing an act of Mishamer like this on Shabbos? Amrav Kahana Shimer Chayiv Katas. That's a Malacha D'Araisa. Maskal Rosheshes. Mika midi de rabbana mechay vichata sir blazer shar lechachila. How could that be? I'm a machlokas tanaim in a katsa lekatsa. That according to one sheet that's hazer gamor, according to the other sheet that's a malacha daraisa. So just marmar muskar. If you take a look at the Rashba there, Rashba is an interesting bottom line as to when you could countenance such a machlokas min a katsa lekatsa daraisa versus hazer gamor, and we're not. But we don't have time to go into that now together. So then the Gemara continues. Masker of Yosef alamalo. So there are other instances where maybe we have the same kind of a machlokas tanayim, whether something is mutar lechachila or malacha daraisa. And then the Gemara says, okay, bottom line, what is the malacha daraisa that we're talking about here according to Chachamim? Mishamai masvinan bay. So what is the hasra'a based on, or what is the, if a person violates this act of Mishamer, how do you give the hasra'a? So that's 2 days in Tosafot Ayin Gilam Aveis. Do you have to be masra a tola de b'shem av? So mishum mai masrinan be, rabba amr mishum borer, rabzeir amr mishum merake. So what is the focus of the hasra'a? What is the malacha going on, or what's the av of the blocka that's going on? So Rabbi says, if you do Mishamer, that's an act of Borer. If Zera says, that's an act of Merake. Amar Rabba, Kavasi Didimasabra. So my position makes sense that it's Borer. Why? Badarka Shabar, Notel Ochel Mediach Absoles. Afachanami, Notel Ochel Mediach Absoles. If Zera says, Kavasi Didimasabra, Mardarka Shamraki Psalus Milmala, the Ochel Milmata, Afacha, Psalus Milmala, the Ochel Milmata, that the wine goes through the holes and ends up on the bottom. Says Rashi, Dibra Maskal, the Notel Ochel Miniach Psalus. Ularaba, who had denami the asu b'mishum meraki to have yasra. So Rashi says, when Gemara says that according to Rabba, we're master b'shem boer, that doesn't mean to the exclusion of meraki. Rabba could agree that it's also called meraki. Hasra b'shem meraki to work, but he says boer as well. According to Rav Zeira, he asked baby shambora lavas rahi. So Zera says Borer alone, and Rabbi says Merakid or Borer. Why is that true? So Sasamis explains, Rashi is assuming, according to Rabba, it's Borer or Merakid, because as a factual matter, that distinction is true. The bottom line is that when you're a Mishamer, the psalus is a mala, the ochel is a mata, which is definitional in Merakit. The Rashi holds that according to Rabbah, either Bor or Merakit works, whereas according to Rav Zeira, it's Dafka Borer and not Merakit. Lashon HaRambam, Perek Ches Halacha Yud Aleph. V'chein ha-borer shmarim mitoch ha-mashkin, ha-reza told us borer, oh, told us merakid v'chayiv. It's told us borer or told us merakid. So the Beis Yosef understood in the Rambam that the Rambam is like Rashi, that the Rambam is passing like Rabba. According to Rashi, Rabba's position is either borer or merakid are sufficient for Asra purposes. That's what the Rambam means. Areza told us Borer, or told us, oh, told us Merakid. Each one is acceptable. Minchas Chinuch notes in Os Gimel in Borer that there isn't much of an afkamina here if you violate a malacha b'mezid. If you do an act of Mishamer b'mezid, so we're not going to kill you twice. But if you did a b'shoge, then he thinks, according to the Rambam, you have the possibility that you would have to bring two chatos. So that one act of Mishamer could violate both Borer and Merakid at the same time, and potentially you could be chayiv two chatos for two melachos. The footnote of the Menchas Chinuch points out there's Mari Korkas and Hilchos Shgagos and Sam's not the way in the Rambam, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, who seems to distinguish between Zomer, where you may be chayiv two melachos, and this act of Mishamer. But that's the Minchas Chinuch's observation, that if you say, according to the Rambam, that he means both of them are relevant, it could be Zomer and Borer potentially at the same time, then that potentially could result in a Chiyuv for a double Chatas. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Be'er Halacha, Dibur Maskil Mishamares, Dibur Maskil Mishamares, argues on the Beis Yosef's reading of the Rambam. Thinks that the Rambam is like Tosos. Tosos on Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. Yom Askel Mishum, who assumes that Rabba and Reb Zeira argue Mikol Vakol. And just like according to Reb Zeira, it's only Merakid. According to Rabba, it's only Borer. So what does the Rambam mean? What does the Rambam mean when he says Areza told us Borer, oh, told us Merakid? It means that we're Mesopak Ladina. We don't know whether the lacha is like Rabba or the lacha is like Reb Zeira. And he thinks, or the Mishnah points out, that there's Yushami that sounds like that. That Rabba and Reb Zeira argue mikol vachol. It's either or, but it can't be both. Yushami, the beginning of Perek Tolin, has the following line. Rav Zeira, Rav Chia Bar Ashi B'Shem Shmuel, HaMishamir Chayim Mishum Boer. Rav Zeira, Lo Mistabra Elim Mishum Merakid. So position number one is borer. Position number two is lo mistabra. It's not borer. It's only merakid. So it sounds like you don't have the possibility of both, either or. So Mishnah Berurah thinks that Yerushalmi sounds not like Rashi. And he thinks that's the Rambam's position, like the Baalei Tosfos, that the Machlokas can be called a kol, either Borer or Merakeid, but there's no possibility of both. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch here? Fifth test. Mishamaris afilu tuluyim er Shabbos asur liten bashmarim, like Chachamim in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah Berurah Lamed Beis, Chiyuv Chagas Nami Yesh Bazeh. You might have read the Mechaber in a vacuum as talking about Issu D'Rabbanan. No, it's a Malacha D'Raisa. Mishim Borer, Shenivra Ochel Me'apsal Asayideza, O Mishim Merakeid. So we don't know whether it's Borer or Merakeid. He thinks even the Rambam doesn't know whether it's Borer or Merakeid, but it's at least one of them, and it's a Malacha D'Raisa. Then the Mechaber continues, Aval, Im Nasim Bashmar Me'er Shabbos, if there's already shmar there before Shabbos, you can add water on Shabbos. What is that talking about? So that's a Gemara on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Gemara has right after the Mishnah. On the bottom half of Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, "Nosdin Mayim Al Gabi Shmar Mishvil Shiatzulu." What's the story? You have a Mishamaris that's already set up before Shabbos, and you have Shmarim, you have sediments that are sitting on the Mishamaris. Meaning, you have the strainer. There are holes in the bottom of the strainer. The sediment is wider than the holes, so the sediment is resting on the holes on the bottom of this strainer. So in that situation, you're allowed to pour water over the sediment over on Shabbos, even though that's going to somewhat liquefy the sediment, and some of that is going to go through the holes. Says the Gemara, Amar Ze'iri, no sein adam yayin salul, umayim salulin letoch hamishamaris b'Shabbos vein achoshesh. If you have clear wine, you can put it onto a mishamaris on Shabbos. Avalakur in love, but if it's cloudy, not. That broader header is talking about if it's in the wine press. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Bein Agitos Shanu, Shekol Yenos Achurin. So that's talking about where the wine is cloudier. So why are you allowed to do it if the wine's cloudy? We just said only if it's clear. Bein Ashgitos, everything's cloudy. Bishos and Asan Bishmarehem. And if you're holding in the Bein Agitos world, so then the norm is to drink the wine even with the sediment. Hilkach Ein Kantikun, Dibulav Hachi Mishtati. So if you're in a situation where the norm is to drink the wine, even though it's cloudy, even though it has some sediment, that's not an act of borer or merakeid to remove the sediment because you drink it just as well with the sediment anyway. So what you see from this Rashi is that in a situation where the norm is, the rov is, that you drink this wine or liquid, b'lav hachi, even with the sediment, so it's not a tikkun of that mashka to liquefy the sediment in such a way that it's going to flow through. The Rambam writes as follows, Parakas Halacha Yudalid, Hamishamar Yayin Hashemin Omayim Chinchar Mashkin Vishamarath Shalahan is Chayiv, Aval Misanin and Yayin Sheim Boshmarim, but you are allowed to filter out wine without sediment. Oh, mayim sulin, or clear water, v'sudarin v'kvifa mitzris, with a cloth or with some kind of a wicker basket, kidei she'ei salo bioser, And you can put water over the sediment in order for it to liquefy and flow. So the Beis Yosef explains or understands the Rambam as follows, that if you have clear wine, then the Rambam does not allow you to strain it through a normal strainer. He only allows you to use a sudor or kvifa mitzris, which is a form of a shinoi. That even if the wine is salol, you can't use a regular mishamaris, but you could use a sudor or kvifa mitzris, which is a type of a shinoi. And that hatter, even by a sudor, is only if it's salol. But if it's achor, if it's cloudy, so then there's no heter of straining it at all. And the Beis Yosef points out, Shita Sarashba, is that even if it's solo, you're allowed to use the Mishamaris Mamish. That's like what we saw in Rashi, that if it's solo, there's no act of it. Because if it's solo, that's not considered to be an act of bor at all, because it is fully usable and drinkable as such. So the Mechaber writes in Sif Yod, Yayin Amayim Shem Tzlulim Mutil Asanim Mishamaras. So if it's solo, you can even use a Mishamaras. That we just saw Shita Sarashba explains the Mishabura Sifkat and Lama Dalit Kevan Dibalav Hasinun Gamkim Him Suliv Ruyalishos. Because anyway, you could drink it even without any further tikkun. Lachain Aim Bazemishim Borer. So that's not subject to an act of Borer. The Ramah says, Afa pishi yesh bo kismin dakin, even though there are tiny pieces in the wine, hold ruin lishas lavachi, but it doesn't bother you, drink it anyway. That's not an act of mishamer. Ava besudr, mayimas rishim libun, to use a sudr, so then you run into libun problems if it's water, yayin asharmashin is mutter, vimhe machurim, then bein mayim bein yayin asir lasanana. Ula Rambam, Mishamaris Aser, Afilu Mayim, V'yayin Tzlulim, Afilu Besudim, Lovitiru, Elabit Tzlulim, Avalo Bachurim. And the Rambam, that's the Yishom, Shachan Aruch, is Machmer one level up to only allow straining Tzlulim with the Sudr, which is a Shinoi, and not with an actual normal Mishamaris. Okay. Then the Mishabura go back to Lamedal. Then the Mishabura adds, was considered solo for these purposes that would not be subject to an act of boer or marakade in a mishamaris. He says, slula mikri kol sheroi lishtos gambalutz kach balosinu l'ro b'nei adam, that which most people would drink under these circumstances. V'yesh machmirim d'dafka kishakulam yichol lishtos kach v'em esanin el kadesh yitzul miyosa. Yesh machmirim, no. If there is a minority of note that wouldn't drink it in its current state, it may still be subject to a prohibited form of mishamer. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Kavtes, that if you have something that is Roi L'shtias Ro B'nei Adam, so the Mishabura, it's not really clear. In the Yesh Machmirim, what percentage do you need to drink it the way it is in order to be matir? The Yoruch HaShulchan says, Rov B'nei Adam would drink it. And it's only the Mifunakim that wouldn't drink it without further straining. Then that's not an act of Boer or Merakeh. Just because there are some Yechidim, say if it's a 55 to 45 split, that we're not going to be matir. But if the overwhelming majority of people would eat something in that state, and there are just some mefunakim, some yechidim that won't, that's not going to spoil it for the rest of us. Now, what about the mefunak himself? So that the Prima Gadda believes it's a safek, it's a rechiyon. So do we say by the mefunak himself that he could also strain it? Do we say baladaito eso kol adam? Or do we say no, that for him, that's a kepeda, and for him, it would be an act of mishamer. That's relevant. Let's say you have orange juice with pulp and you don't like the pulp. So can you strain most people who drink the pulp? But can you strain it for if you're a mefunak that won't drink the pulp? Is that an act of mishamer? No.
Can Rebbe explain again his suffix in the Mishnah Berurah? Meaning that the Aruch HaShulchan clarifies?
I was just saying that the Mishnah Berurah has two positions. Position number one is that you follow the rov. As long as rov people can drink something, then drink something the way it is. That's not subject to Bo'er. And then he quotes Yesh Machmir Dafka Kisha Kula Michalim Lishtas. So when he says rov in the first position, is that a mathematical rove of 51%, or you need a significant rove, meaning more than a regular rove? So it could be that Mishra also would say you need not just a 55%. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, when he says rove, he explains the rove is where most people would, and you have a few yechidim and mefunakim. He's assuming that it's an overwhelming rove that would drink something the way it is, that would obviate a bar problem.
But Rebbe is sure that the Mishnah Berurah wouldn't be matir if it was, let's say, 51%. That's too insignificant a rub.
The Aruch HaShulchan wouldn't, and I my inclination is that the Mishnah Berurah wouldn't either. I don't think he's just talking about a simple rov. That's what
Yeah.
I think. Okay. So the Prima Gadda believes that with the Tzarechi, and what about the Mefunak himself? And the Berlacha, your Maskal Hoel, assumes that you should be machmer on that at least for the Mefunak himself, the Isinus himself, who wouldn't drink it in its current state, so he shouldn't be Mishamer. Now the Ayin L'Shulash points out in Perek Tzayin footnote Kaf Gimel that in a totally different context, we saw when we were talking about Melaben or cleaning clothing. So the very beginning of Shin Beis, we have the din of Minara Taliso and the distinction between Makbid and Eino Makbid. So there, the Be'er Halacha, Dibur Maskal Vehu. So there, he assumes that in defining something as makbid or not, we discuss if you're not makbid, but someone else is makbid, can you clean the clothing for the makbid? So there, the Be'er Halacha assume that you follow the person that you're cleaning it for. So even if you, for you, the afar on your jacket wouldn't bother you, but for the other person that you're cleaning, it does bother. That would be prohibited. So the Ayin L'Shulash question, this in Kerelis, he thought the same standard should apply over here. That you, if you have an istinus, the person that doesn't like the pulp, so even if it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother most people, you still shouldn't strain it on behalf of the istinus. He's unsure in the other direction. Let's say the Mishnah Berurah says you should be machmir. The istinus definitely shouldn't strain it for himself. Can the istinus strain it for someone else who's not an istinus? That he's not sure about either. The Maram Shik talks about this a little bit. Shuvas Maram Shik, Arachayim, Simin, Kuf, Lamed, Dalid. That in the context of water, if you have someone that wouldn't drink unfiltered water, but there are plenty of other people that do drink unfiltered water, can those people filter on behalf of the one that doesn't drink unfiltered water? So that's relevant to the following. The Ayil Meshulash Perek HaZayin, if Zayin writes that if you have tap water with a filter. And most people would drink the water freely, even without the filter. Then there's no problem of filtering that water. We're not talking about a luck consideration yet. We're not talking about kopavad yet, but you're doing it for health. Then if most people would drink unfiltered water, then that's not a problem to filter to use the filter on Shabbos. So assumes the Chazon Ish and Siman Nun Gimel. So assumes Reb Shlomo Zalman, quoted in Shmir Shabbos, footnote Kuf Pei Gimel. Rabbi Carr points out in this discussion, footnote 32, that if you have someone that's makbid not to drink, for health reasons, he's makbid not to drink unfiltered water. So even for the person that's makbid not to drink unfiltered water for health reasons, you could argue that we're looking at water where, to the naked eye, it doesn't look any different whether it's unfiltered or filtered. It's totally tzalul, it's mayim slulin. So there's no discernible act of breira that's going on. So Rabbi Karb thinks, even according to the Prima Gada, even if the Prima Gada wants to be machmir, that the istinus can filter himself because for him he's makbid, but that arguably is only where there's a discernible act of brera going on. If you have the case of the Ramah, the tiny kismin in the water or in the wine, or you have the pulp in the oranges. So that's something where even if most people are makbid, but you would discern the act of boer. But if you have water and whatever particles are being filtered out by the filter are not visible to the naked eye, you couldn't tell that there's any brera going on. Rabbi Carr points out that is arguably not an act of boer, and even the istinus himself, the person that's makbid, would be mutter to do it. However, he quotes Rabbi Yashiv was machmir, that for the person who is makbid to only drink filtered water, maybe that's still an act of boer. Then Rabbi Carr quotes that even the Prima Gadim was only, even if you're going to be machmir, to assume that the Prima Gadim esophagus is relevant to filtered water, but the Prima Gadim was only misupak by someone that was efshar lishtos b'lav hachi. Meaning someone that's not going to drink, someone's the istinus, that if there's no, if you can't filter out the thing that he's an istinus from, he's not going to drink it at all. So there, for that person, he's makbid enough that would be a problem of boer. But if you're generally makbid, but push comes to shove, you drink other water, meaning you're generally makbid to drink filtered water. But if there's no filtered water available, you still drink the tap water straight. So then even the Prima Gadim should agree that is okay to filter for the istinus as well. And Rabbi Karp writes that he suggested this to Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv was maskev. So at least for the person that has a kapeda, not getting to halakhic considerations, that a kapeda to only use filtered water, but push comes to shove, there's no filtered water available, you would drink from the tap, then even Rav Yashiv thought that in principle, the Prima Gadim's consideration is relevant even where you can't see the act of bar going on. But if the person would drink the tap water otherwise, the push came to shove, then you don't have to be machmer. Shmir Shabbos raises a related question in Sifkatan Kuf Pei Aleph. Let's say you use a filter on Pesach. Someone uses a filter on the water on Pesach because they're worried maybe there's some crumbs in the reservoir and the filter is going to filter that out. So how is that? How is that mutter? So, of course, there's Shlomo Zalman, the same idea that whatever is filtering out is not really near a la'ayin. It's highly unlikely that there are going to be crumbs that are making it all the way from the reservoir till your tap, and the crumbs are going to be filtered out by the filter. That's very unlikely. So, there's all the whoever puts on a filter on Pesach, that's all the Yachumra Ba'alma, that's really not necessary. Ladina. There's no need for it at all. No one, most people aren't machmir on this. So in that situation, Shlomo Zalman thought there's no need to worry about a potential borer consideration. Now, what about using a filter if you're makbid for filtering water because of kovapas, because of halacha considerations? So I believe that why you water fountains and the cafeteria still filters water, right? Okay. So is that the problem on Shabbos? There you're doing it for halacha considerations. And arguably, if you didn't have filtered water, you wouldn't use, if you're concerned about the kofapais, you wouldn't use the water at all. And to the extent that you are filtering, it's because you believe that there are, or you're concerned that there are kofapais that are near la'ayin, because if it wasn't near la'ayin, then it wouldn't be halachically problematic to begin with. So Nishmas Adam writes in Klal Tesayin that if you have water that has toloim, maybe you could argue that fundamentally the water is drinkable. It's analogous to the kismin that the Rama talks about. The only reason you're not drinking the water is because you have toloim that are halachically usher to drink. But they're small enough that if not for the halachic impediment, it wouldn't bother you to drink such water. So maybe review that as isura derivale. Maybe review that as, if not fundamentally lo nitan lishasiya, it's just there's a halachic consideration that prevents you from doing so. And at the very least, that would allow you to be makel to use a mishameres and consider that to be mayim slulin, because if not for the halachic consideration, that would be mayim slulin that you would drink. So that's his suggestion, and he leaves that as a sarachian. That relates to the question that we had briefly noted that the Minchas Chinuch raises as to whether something that is halachically of a different status but looks the same as the other food is subject to boer. If I have some fruit that's orla and some fruit that's not, they're the same apples, just some are orla apples and some are not orla apples. Do I view the orla apples as soles as far as the definition of boer or not? There's a Magen Avraham as well in Hilchos Yontiv. The Mechaber there, Simen Tav Kuf Sif Vav, so the Rama rather, the Rama there has that the minug, he quotes the minug to allow doing niker on yantiv. If you shafted an animal yantiv, or maybe even if you shafted an erev yantiv, you could do niker. He says maybe you should do it with the shinut. Aye, why is that a concern of Boer that you're removing the Giranasha, you're removing the part of the animal that you're not able to eat. It says in Magen Avraham, maybe that's not Boer, Ochel Mitoch. It's not Boer, Ochel Mitoch Ochel, because it's the Afshar Binyan Acher. And the Magen Avraham discusses this idea that maybe if the only reason you're removing something is for halachic considerations, that's not really considered psolus. And the same idea that the Nishmas, that the Chai Adam raised. The Rabbi Chaim Oberlander, one of the editors of the Or Yisrael Journal in Or Yisrael Lamed Zayin, Tishrei Tavshin Samachay, or the brother of the editor, Tishrei Tavshin Samechei. So he, in discussion of filtering water on Shabbos where there are kofapads, he quotes the Shvisas HaShabbos that disagrees with this Magen Avraham. Shvisas HaShabbos in Os Yud, that the Magen Avraham assumes that if you have something that you're being borer for halachic reasons, but otherwise it's ochel and ochel, that would not be a violation of borer, and that would be hetter gamer. He goes to Shvisa the Shabbos, that is still an issur the Rabbanon, but the Magen Avraham is mavur that it's hetter gamer. Then he also says, maybe even if you assume that it's an Isser the Rabbanon, but if we're makel to use a sudar by something that's mildly achurim, it's only an Isser the Rabbanon, so maybe here from Malkum Tzorech, that would be mutter. Rabbi Neustadt has an article in Yeshurin, volume Yud Zayin. So he has the following stadim lahakel on this question of filter. If you're makbid for lachic reasons to filter from the copepods, are you allowed to turn on the tap on Shabbos? He says, even though at first glance you would have argued that the filter is enough of klara, that's an actual kliyam yuchad librera. So he points out a chazan ish in Simen Nun Gimel. Chazon Ish is talking about a teapot where you're going to pour out the tea from the teapot, but the actual tea leaves are going to get stuck in the pot when you're pouring it out. So why is you have a kind of a strainer on the top of the teapot that's keeping the tea leaves in the teapot? So why isn't that an act of borer the kli? So the way he explains the Chazon Ish, who's matir, is that the issur of using a kliyam yuchalakach for borer is only if your intention is to perform borer in doing so. And if you weren't interested in the borer, you wouldn't use such a kli. But here you're using the teapot to pour out the tea. The fact that there's some holding back of the tea leaves is not your intention. That's not your interest. You would use the teapot to pour the tea regardless. So that's not considered derech breira, that's considered derech tashmish, and therefore that becomes boer b'kli, boer b'yad, and not boer b'kli. I only consider something to be boer b'kli if it's a kli amyuchal of boer, my intention is to perform an act of boer with the kli. If I'm using a kli to remove contents and the breira happens memela, but that's not my intention, Chazon Ish thinks that's considered breira b'yad and not boer b'kli. So even if this is an act of boer by turning on the faucet, so we're concerned, the theory would be that the filter is considered a kli. So even if I'm using the water for immediate use, and it's ochel mitoch solas, that's still considered breir b'kli. So he thinks based on the Chazon Ish, maybe not. Maybe that's not called breir b'kli. If whenever I want water, I have to turn on the sink and the filter's there. But my intention isn't a kavanas breira, meaning sometimes I want to be boer because I want the water to drink. But sometimes I'm using the water to wash dishes or to wash hands. So then I couldn't care less if there are copepods in the water. So the fact that I don't always use that kli for breira purposes makes that considered breira biyad and not breira b'kli. That's Rabbi Neustadt's suggestion based on that Chazon Ish. And he also suggests maybe if you have the filter that's always there, that's not considered to be derech breira because same idea. You're always turning on the faucet and the filter's there, whether or not you have kavanas breira. And then he talks about the other considerations that maybe there's no borer if you're only doing something for halachic reasons and there's nothing. There's no discernible act of boer. You would, if not for lucky reasons, you would drink the water anyway. And then he says, L'Ravka de Milsa, if you want to be machmir, then you can do the following. You turn on the faucet and let the water be holech li'ibut. Turn on the faucet and don't put a cup there quite yet. Then after it's on for a few seconds, then you could fill up your cup with water. Because if that's the case, you're not doing an act of bar initially, and then you're going to fill up the cup afterwards. So that's some kind of a grumba. That's not a function that's directly connected to your original act of turning on the faucet. So bottom line, for whatever combination of these multiple considerations you want, the poskim are generally makel. There are numerous stadim lahakel about using a filter on Shabbos, even if you are concerned about copepods. Okay, so let's leave it at this. Mirtz Hashem, next week will be Chazara week, and the Bechina will be a week from Monday.